Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Sala. I'm Veronica Vilsky, and today we will hear from Joan Hall as she tells us about her 4 weeks learning Spanish in Lima, Peru. Bienvenido, Joan.
Bienvenida. Gracias.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am a nurse. I live in Boston, Massachusetts, and I am a nurse. And I'm retired now, so I decided I wanted to do something that was better than going to lay in the sun for a month. I wanted to learn something and try something new.
So why did you choose to study in Lima?
Well, I had worked in an orphanage in Lima the year before, so I felt very comfortable in Lima. And I read all of the books from Acela. Oh, I should start first by saying that I knew nothing about how to study in Lima. So I went on the internet and I just said that I was interested, Googled that I was interested in schools that teach Spanish in Lima. And I got a number of responses. So I wrote back to each of them, and some got back to me quickly, some got back to me slowly, some never got back to me. But one particular fellow called me from Texas, and he told me all about Acela. He was very excited, very enthusiastic, as I was, and he sold me. So I signed up immediately for that.
Excellent. How long were you at the orphanage prior to that?
I was there for 4 weeks the year before.
Okay.
But I spoke no Spanish whatsoever. Hello and goodbye. That was it.
Did you travel to Lima alone?
I did. Oh, so that's the next thing. So I signed up for the school, so that was all set. I made my airline reservations. That was easy, too, because I knew the times the classes started. And then I just needed a hotel in the area. I know that Acela provides housing for people, but I had read someone of the previous students decided that he would prefer to stay in a hotel, and he named the hotel, and that is what I followed up with, and I was so happy I did that.
Oh, good. So it was a good recommendation?
Yes. Do I have
Excellent.
A recommendation?
Oh, yeah. Could you share the name of the hotel with us?
I will before this is over because I'm just trying to blank.
Because I asked, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it.
Okay. So what was a concern or concerns that you had that might have deterred you from going to study Spanish abroad?
Well, I didn't know if I would be able to, since I didn't speak any Spanish at all, if I'd be able to get around. And I think what sold me was that I had been in Lima for a month beforehand, the year before. So I knew how to take taxis, how to catch a cab, how not to go to the tourist traps. And, you know, in Lima, taxis come up to you, as you know, and they want, oh, maybe 10 soles or something. And if I know the price is 5, I'll say, no, 5. And they'll say, no, 9. And I'll say, no, 5. And then when they finally say no lower than 9, I'll say okay, and I go to the one behind me. However, that's when they yell out the window, 5, 5, 5 will do. So, yeah, so it's because I knew some tricks like that I went there. And I loved ceviche.
Oh, yes. That's a good reason to go back.
And tres leches. Oh, my gosh.
Good. So why did you choose Spanish and everything you wanted to do kind of to keep your mind sharp?
Well, because I read that by the year 2050, which I will not be around for, but I did read that there's going to be something like 30% of Americans that are going to be Latino. And right now, as we're talking, I'm sitting in a restaurant in Boston, a little coffee shop, and everyone here speaks Spanish. So almost everywhere I go in Boston, people are speaking Spanish. And that's the main reason. I had gone to school in France, in Paris, and I learned French many, many years ago when I was in college. And I have not said one word of French since I returned. And at least Spanish, I can speak to people here.
Definitely. So kind of jumping over to Lima, what were your classes at Acela like?
My classes at Acela shocked me because they knew exactly where to place every single person. And we were in the appropriate levels. And people came and left every week. So I don't know how they did it, but all of us spoke at about the same level, which was reassuring because it wasn't, you never felt stupid. You knew that all of us were learning at the same speed.
Good. What type of person do you think might not benefit from a Spanish immersion program?
What type of person?
Yeah.
Someone who is not at all adventurous, mm-hmm. because there is a lot to learn in doing that, and you have to be willing to try a lot of different things. If you're not adventurous, you just may not do that. But maybe you wouldn't take a cab. Maybe you wouldn't go to different restaurants.
Right.
Things like that.
So when you came across maybe a difficult Spanish lesson, how did the professors help work you through that?
Well, one particular thing was para and por, and I could not get the difference. I could not get it straight. And so when I had the conversation lesson in the afternoon, after the grammar in the morning with para and por, she brought in a specific lesson plan that showed specifically how to work with para and por and went over them for quite a while. So they really identified with what I had difficulty with.
Yeah. You and a lot of people, those are difficult ones.
Those are difficult.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get to know your fellow classmates?
1 minute.
Oh.
No, okay. As a matter of fact, the first week I was there, this was kind of fun, I was with just one other fellow. And he was 34 years old, and he was from Australia. It was just the two of us. And I'm not 34 years old from Australia. So he got talking, and we had such a good time together that he actually came over to the hotel to look me up to show me presents he bought for his girlfriend in Australia to see if I'd like them. So it's awfully easy. And also another thing, which I didn't do, they offer all those excursions. And so when a lot of the students went together on excursions, they became friendly. But yeah. I had done a lot of those the year before on my own with my volunteer group in the orphanage. So I didn't do that, but a lot of people got friendly in that way.
Yeah.
I think
so
it's
when
the
you did
best
do,
place
oh, sorry.
It's the best place I've ever been to. I'm doing it again. I'm going
excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to Chile next February and gonna do Acela again. And right now, it got me so motivated. They were so good down there. They were that good. And I don't rave about a lot of things. But they were so good, they got me motivated. And I'm back in Boston right now. And at this moment when I'm talking to you, I'm studying Spanish. And I'm also going to Boston University taking Spanish. And I'm going to Boston Center for Adult Education taking Spanish. So that I might be ahead of the game when I go back to Chile.
Oh, wow. You will definitely be right up there. That's amazing.
I'm trying. But it got me very motivated. I thought they were the best people ever.
Good. Did you feel safe in the school's location?
Oh, absolutely. It's totally safe. And furthermore, it was the only building on the street that had a locked gate and a man who just let students in. No one else could just wander in. And that surprised me because no place else did that. You could wander in anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Because
so
that is an additional measure of safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you feel like throughout your weeks there you experienced any particular cultural barriers being brought down?
Yes, I do. One particular example. I went to most of the churches, the big ones certainly in El Centro. And then I went to the English-speaking churches. And I met a taxi driver at one of the church masses. And we became friends. And he actually took me all over at a very reduced taxi rate. And we got talking about different subjects. And he was saying how he so dislikes people who suffer from alcoholism. And I told you that I was a nurse.
Right.
And this is a field I had studied in. And here we consider that an illness. So it's no worse than having cancer or something like that. And he didn't understand that at all. He said, well, everyone here feels that they're just bad people. They aren't good Christians. And I said, I know many, many good Christians who are alcoholics, and I've worked with them. So,
yeah.
So there was one cultural big difference between the two countries.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So I know you mentioned ceviche and tres leches. Was there any particular restaurant that you enjoyed the most that you would recommend?
Yes, La Tienda Blanca. It's a,
okay.
It's a Swiss restaurant, right? Avenida Larco. And it is high quality food. It's expensive, but boy, is it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I ate tres leches every single meal, and I'm not a dessert eater, but I was there. And it showed when I came home and got on the scale. the ceviche didn't bring it down. That's not fattening. But the tres leches was deadly.
Oh, that's why I just go once a year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what was a typical weekday like for you after your classes?
Well, first of all, I was in a hotel. It had a teeny pool. I mean, teeny. It was not a large resort pool. So I would go home. When I walked home from class, it was about 3:30, and it's terribly humid, very, very humid. So I would get in to the pool and exercise for 45 minutes, and then I would get out and do some homework and some reading or take a tour. I scheduled tours of Lima any time after 3 o'clock. So one of the two, but I always exercised when I was down there just to stay healthy. Plus I walked to school for an hour each way.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You definitely stayed active then.
Yeah.
And I know you said it was humid. You maybe have mentioned this before, but in what month did you study?
February.
Lima?
February.
Okay.
And I'm doing February again in Chile.
Okay. Good. That'll be similar. Did you take any particular weekend trip or longer excursion you recommend?
Well, I have done Machu Picchu in the past before this year, and I would certainly recommend Cusco and Machu Picchu. But I also went to the Caballos Paseo, which are the famous horses that are in the Rose Bowl Parade. And that's the one tour I decided, oh, I'm not going to go on this one. I have no interest in horses. Turned out to be one of the best things I ever did. It was fabulous. It was on a hacienda. Now, that to me means ranch, and I'm thinking I'm going to see cowboys. Oh, this was lovely. This was elegant. Some man trains them and puts on a show, and it serves a wonderful dinner. It was really nice.
Good. That does sound.
And
did you find that
one
on your own? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I got the concierge list of excursions at the hotel. And I did them all. I did every one.
Oh, so, nice. What was the other one you were saying?
Well, I did the religious sites that go into the desert, and you climb uphill in the desert where it's very hot, and you visit the religious sites where they used to do sacrifices. And
oh, that would be very interesting.
That was interesting. It was hot, and it was a lot of work, and I was with three doctors and lawyers from Brazil who were huffing and puffing, and I thought, hey, I'm not much worse than them. I was huffing and puffing, too, but we had a good time.
Yeah. Did you talk to friends or family back home during your program?
I texted. That I did have trouble with. The phone service back, if I sent a text, I emailed. If I sent a text, the text often didn't go through, and I couldn't tell if it went through. And if they were long texts, they definitely didn't go through, and they said not delivered. So I wound up emailing, and that worked fine.
Okay. No, that's good to know.
The phone was a little bit hard.
Oh, okay. Like if you tried to call? Or do you mean just the texting?
I mean just the texting, but the calling, I found out from this taxi driver who I met, the one I met at church, that you can call for 20 cents a minute somehow. I never got into it with him, but there is a way to do it.
Okay. Well, emails work too. Then you can put in some pictures and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. What cultural differences stood out to you most between Lima and Boston?
cultural differences. Well, the interest in religion is intense down in Lima. I mean, people go to many services many times, and they have masses. Oh, I don't know. I think the ones in El Centro have masses like 8 on a Sunday, always daily masses. And the churches all look like museums. I found out that the families, I think, are more apt to live with one another in Lima than we are here. People kind of go their own way when they're through college or whatever. And many families down there were living together. And the food is different, of course. Oh, and casinos. There are casinos galore. 2,000 casinos in Lima.
Oh, I never knew that.
That was a little different.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
Estudiante.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's my favorite word. It's just catchy.
It is. We're kind of wrapping up here. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
One thing I forgot to mention was the Nazca Lines. I did take a weekend trip to the Nazca Lines. And it leaves, I did it in one day. Well, something like 21 hours or 18 hours, a long day. I would do it in 2 days. I would go down and stay in the area and do the islands on one day and then the Nazca Lines on the other. And I found them fascinating. And here's a different thing, but the guide who took us on the Nazca Lines pointed out the drawings in the desert, and he said that people in Peru believed that they were done by spirits. And so he went through the whole thing, and then when he got through showing us the Nazca Lines, he says, "Now, do you believe those were done by spirits? You do, don't you?" I said, "No, I don't believe that at all." And he said, "Well, how come there's no footprints?" Well, why not? If someone had done it, you would see footprints. Well, when I came home, I found a story on the Nazca Lines, and it said that the sand is so, the desert there gets 1 inch of rain per year, year. So the sand is hard as a rock. So I'm sure when someone made these pictures, they had to use a heavy metal instrument of some sort to draw the pictures. And what they discovered was that the pictures all point to watering holes. So people did this with the intention of showing where to get water.
Right.
So that was
it's very interesting.
That was a really interesting weekend. Yeah, that was nice.
Huh, that is amazing. I haven't heard about that one before.
Oh, it's expensive to do. I think it was close to $600. But you take a bus down, you get a real nice lunch at a fancy hotel, and you do the Nazca Lines. And I guess the Nazca Lines in the past were very dangerous. They had a lot of plane crashes.
Okay.
I did it anyway, and they seemed pretty safe to me. The pilots are a little bit wobbly in the planes. You tilt from one side to the other, and people kept saying, "Oh," but it was nice.
Yeah. Well, anytime you're in a small plane, you'll get that anyway.
Exactly.
Muchísimas gracias, and I'm so glad we got to talk about your Spanish program, Joan.
Yeah, me too.
Hasta pronto.
Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye.